Egypt is the big story and the big question in business. How's business functioning outside and inside the country?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's another day of protests in Egypt. The stock market is closed today. A lot of businesses are shut down as well. And the government, as you no doubt have heard, is holding on to power as best they can. Now, Moody's today cut Egypt's debt rating a notch, worried about how much the unrest is costing the Egyptian government. That's going to make it even tougher for Egypt to borrow money. We're going to devote a few minutes to this evolving story right now. First, Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from Washington with how the situation is spooking the global economy. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Where are the economic worries coming from?
Well, Moody's frets about what it calls political event risk. No one is really sure who will be running this economy going forward. And it's worried that the government may try to spend its way into the protesters' hearts. I just spoke to Tim Ash over at the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Governments very often have to make choices. They can meet day-to-day payments, for example, salaries and wages, or they can cover things like debt service payment. And obviously, politics can change priorities.
And yesterday, Steve, President Mubarak promised that he would keep subsidies flowing for food and gas. And this is real money. 4 out of 5 Egyptians get a subsidy.
All right. So what about, Scott, the broader risks? I mean, for example, the Dubai stock market, I think, fell like 4% today. What's going on there?
Stocks fell all across this region. Airlines with Egypt routes, shipping companies doing business in the Suez Canal. So a lot of analysts consider the initial market freakout overdone. The Suez Canal is still open, where about 1 million barrels of oil flow every day. And OPEC today said no one should be worried about oil supplies.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington for us. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
Now inside Egypt, Naguib Sawiris is chairman of the Egyptian telecom company Orascom. He's with us on the phone this morning. Thank you so much, sir, for being with us.
My pleasure.
What's the business climate been like in Egypt?
Well, it was doing great. Our economy was doing actually great in comparison to the Europe and all the emerging markets. We were growing by 5-6% even during the crisis, you know. Right now, with this development, of course, will put a shade on the situation here on attracting new investments. But in my personal opinion, it is temporary. I'm very optimistic, you know, because we believe that democracy will happen here, and democracy is the best guarantee for investments long term.
You have Orascom, which is a big telecommunications firm. Were you asked to shut yourself service down?
Our license gives the government all rights to suspend any service they wish when national crisis or whenever they feel. So we have just adhered to whatever the government decides. We have no jurisdiction to, because our license gives them that right.
What did you think of the decision to do that?
At the beginning, yes, maybe, because if they wanted to avoid the turmoil. But I think right now they should restore the service. Otherwise, they're paralyzing all the business correspondence. We are unable now to continue business as usual. In today's world, you cannot do any business without your emails.
What about business going forward in Egypt? I mean, does it all depend on how these protests sort of carry through?
No. I think, as I tell you, I'm speaking for many serious businessmen in Egypt here. We believe that a real democratic regime here will enhance investments, will be the best security for people like us to grow and invest more, you know. So if there is a temporary setback now, so our stock exchange is suffering now, my feeling is this is going to yield into something very positive.
You're not fearful for your safety or any your family?
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy. You know, fear is not in my vocabulary. I fear no one except God.
Naguib Sawiris, the chairman of the telecom and construction giant Orascom, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
And global markets, by the way, are lower at the moment as everyone keeps an eye on Egypt. European and Asian shares are down 0.5% or so. Oil is edging closer to $100 a barrel. Now, Egypt is not a big factor in the oil market, but its neighbors are. Wall Street Friday, markets tanked. The NASDAQ fell 2.5%. The Dow lost 166 points to close at 11,823. And for the week, well, markets lost a little ground.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life. ALLIANZUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, helping businesses and professionals monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
In just a couple of days, Rupert Murdoch and Apple execs will unveil The Daily. It's a new multimedia publication being built exclusively for the iPad. Just don't call it a newspaper. From Silicon Valley, here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Like everything Apple touches, The Daily is being built in secret. But Damon Kisau, a digital media fellow at the Poynter Institute, went digging through the computer code on The Daily's website and found mock-ups of its front page.
With some fun headlines, Oprah's biggest gamble and a bridge too far.
So The Daily's vibe sounds kind of like a national version of The New York Post. The publishing industry is just as eager to get a peek at The Daily's business model.
The Daily won't be running Apple's iAds, which are Apple's internal advertising service for their mobile devices.
Instead, News Corp will sell its own advertising. And if The Daily knows its subscribers, it could target ads to each person based on the time of day, even location. But if Apple keeps all of that information to itself, individually focused advertising will be impossible. And The Daily might end up looking a lot more like an old-fashioned newspaper than Rupert Murdoch would like. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn. For Marketplace.
And finally, while the Midwest braces for a big winter storm this week, Northeasterners are still reeling from the last one. And salt to melt the ice on sidewalks and roadways is in high demand. So in Bergen County, New Jersey, they're using pickle juice to melt the ice. The brine is much cheaper, $16 a ton versus $63 a ton for salt. Plus, officials say with all the delis around, the pickle juice should be easier to find. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Best guesses are that maybe 20% of Bolivians live in other countries, gone there to look for work. But ever since the financial crisis, those opportunities abroad have dried up.
Spain has deflated like a balloon. Employment has disappeared and many Latinos have been laid off and returned home.
I'm Kai Rizdal, trying to go home again. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.